And mostly from the very first verse, for freedom Christ has set us free. For freedom Christ has set us free. Therefore, stand firm and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. There's a whole lot wrapped up just in that little thing right there. Paul was writing to the Galatians. It helps us to understand a little bit about who the Galatians were and the history of the Galatians, just a little bit, to give us a better indication of what he was saying here. You know, in the church in Galatia, there were lots of new converts coming into the church, people that were learning about Jesus and deciding they were going to follow him for the very first time. And so they would hear the gospel, they would hear the word of the Lord, and they would say, okay, I want to follow Jesus. I don't want this junk in my life anymore. And they would come into the church. And even though they had made the commitment to follow Jesus, they still had a lot of that junk in their lives from before they knew the Lord. So they still had some of their behaviors and perhaps some of their patterns of thought and whatnot that was so natural to them when they were following the ways of the world and were bearing the fruits of the world, that when they came into the church, they dragged some of that into the church with them. And so Paul is exhorting the church and saying, okay, those of you that have decided to follow Jesus, yes, you used to do this, but don't submit to that again. Don't become slaves to that junk in your lives again. Follow Christ. It is for freedom that you have been set free. Don't go back to that stuff. I was thinking about this, and I thought about, what is it like to be saved from drowning? Anybody here been saved from drowning? Karis? Okay, yep. And you have? Sort of, yeah, okay, all right. So right, you're drowning, you're in the water, someone reaches down and grabs you, and they pull you into the boat, and you're safe. But you're still soaking wet. You still have all of that stuff that you were drowning in all over you. Your muscles are tired from swimming. You might be having some kind of reaction of panic, because that often happens with drowning people. So even though you're safe, even though you have been rescued and you are saved, you still have the effects of the condition you were just in playing out in your life. Martin Luther said that Paul acknowledges the great weakness of the godly because they are but in part regenerated. And he exhorts them to remember that they are endued with the Spirit of God, who has delivered them from the slavery of sin and so from the law, inasmuch as it is the power of sin, so they should not give themselves to lusts. So, someone that had it put together in the past there. So the contrast that's being drawn here in this scripture passage is between the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. And so when we serve the flesh, there's a certain kind of fruit that happens, which we saw with the young folks. And when we serve Christ and are filled with his Holy Spirit and are formed in Christ, there's a certain kind of fruits that are born in our lives. When the Holy Spirit is able to transform us, we bear his fruit. Remember that verse we had a week or so, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And this life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. I don't live anymore to serve the fruits of the flesh. I don't seek after that anymore. Once we decide to follow Christ, our job, our intent, our purpose is to live for Christ and to seek after those things that are of Christ and bear Christ's fruit in the world. So this says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. So next weekend, right, July 4th weekend, we're all going to watch the fireworks. Some of us are going to participate in what's going on here in town. As an aside, I always wanted to go to the top of Mount Scudney on the night that most of the fireworks in the area are happening and watch them in 360. That would be pretty cool, you know. I don't know if they let you up there at night, but it'd be kind of fun. But we celebrate our independence, right? We celebrate our freedom from oppression. got me thinking about all the different peoples in the world that are struggling for their freedom. Not to get too political, for many in Britain, the Brexit referendum was to them a step towards freedom. There were people on the news being quoted as saying, "This is our Independence Day." That's the way many over there felt about it. And when we think about freedom, probably a lot of different things come to mind. But Paul was talking about a particular kind of freedom for those that are following Christ. And he's talking about freedom from sin, freedom from the eternal consequences of sin in our lives, and very importantly, freedom from the bondage to the memory and the guilt of sin. If you know that you've done something wrong, and you've confessed it and gone to the Lord and repented of it, how often does it happen to you that you still feel guilty about it afterwards? Does that ever keep coming back, like pizza after midnight? Right? Okay, right? It just keeps coming back. It holds you, and you're reminded of, am I really forgiven? Man, that was a really awful thing that I did. I am so guilty of that mess. I can't believe I thought that, but I did. Can God really forgive me of that? You know, conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Conviction is what leads us to repentance. And conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. But condemnation does not come from God. So if you have repented, if you have turned away from something, and it keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back, if you have been delivered from something, and it keeps coming back, that is not God saying, what I did the first time wasn't good enough. That is somebody else saying, you're not good enough. And it's flying in the face of what Jesus Christ says about you if you have turned to him in repentance. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So something this freedom is not, then, also is a wild freedom abstract from any restraint, okay? Paul's freedom doesn't create the culture that we have become, at least not in mind or in purpose. Paul proclaims the freedom with this voice of having been chosen by God for freedom. To be chosen by God for freedom, to have been freed by Christ, is also to be freed from the results of life lived apart from God. And it's a call into freedom that mirrors God's life, and freedom dedicated to serving Christ and others in Christ's love. So we are given this power in the Holy Spirit to live a different life than what we would have lived if we had not found Christ. If we had never found Christ, we would have borne the fruit in the people. When we find Christ and we follow him, all of a sudden good fruit begins to happen. I tried really hard to find a plant out there that can bear different kinds of fruit, but I couldn't find one. It would have been really cool though. So Paul urges us to live this life and to not look back to a world where supervision was necessary all the time because we couldn't walk by the Spirit. He encourages us to embrace this freedom, to reject those values and those ways and those old ways of thinking, and to live for God as Christ lived and died and rose again for us. While I was writing this sermon, I was also on kid duty, and Elisha took it upon himself to head into the kitchen and select something from the trash. Think about it, it's right at eye level for him. You know, it looks kind of like, ooh, is this there for me? And he has this nasty habit of going into the garbage and retrieving things. I don't know if those of you that have raised children have had that happen with you, but sometimes he takes it one step further and tries to eat it. And we're just like, we can't get there fast enough. And it doesn't matter if it used to be food or if it's just some piece of generic garbage. Or even if it's a diaper. Okay, the kid pulls it out of there. And you know, it was thrown away because it was no longer of any use, or it's dirty, or it's rotten, right? Yet, he needs the supervision still to not return to what was thrown away. I gotta watch that kid like a hawk. He'll be back there in 2 seconds, even after I tell him no. signature is alive and well. But as we get older, by the time Elisha's 8, he's not going to be going to the garbage can anymore. He'll be hitting the refrigerator. Okay? But as we get older, we mature to the point where that kind of supervision isn't necessary because we walk by the Spirit. We know not to go back to the garbage can and pull out what God has thrown away from our lives and replaced with His fruit. So we need to embrace our freedom found in Christ and reject those old values and those old ways, and we need to live for God. You know, the gospel account today is one that has an interesting story for us. And on the surface, it looks as if Jesus is being really mean and uncaring. And it's almost like, it looks like he's saying, I don't care if your father's dead. If you want to follow me, you can't even go back and marry him. What? Who are you? You know? But if you look at it a little bit more deeply, it's not intended to show that Jesus is being some person who is uncaring or someone who doesn't understand family attachments or family loyalties. Jesus is teaching us that when someone decides to turn from the world and follow Him, they need to do so with their whole heart. They can't have one toe in and the rest of their body out. You can't half-heartedly follow Christ and expect that He's going to change your life and impart the power for living given by the Holy Spirit if we're only half-heartedly following Him. So there's this familiar verse in Jeremiah 29. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you seek for me with your whole heart. If we're having trouble finding the Lord, if we're having trouble hearing His voice, we might need to look at ourselves and say, am I really wholeheartedly following after the Lord? Or is there an area that I'm holding back that I need to submit to the Lord and hand over to Him? Maybe we've gotten sidetracked in our Christian walk. It's easy to get misguided and enticed. Sometimes we're educated by the culture instead of by Scripture. We may have bought into one or another lie promising freedom, yet it keeps us in bondage. The good news is that freedom is still at hand and is available. So I want to encourage you and challenge you to grasp onto and take hold of this freedom found in Christ. Be mindful of the fruit that used to be in your lives and look for the fruit that the Holy Spirit is growing in you as you follow Him. As the Scripture tells us, follow hard after God. Seek Him with your whole heart. Be defined by the Lord at work in your heart, not by the environment which we are so temporarily passing through. Don't set out to follow Christ and then look back longingly at what you left behind. Remember Lot? Lot's wife? She turned into a pillar of salt when she looked back. There's that old song that I have decided to follow Jesus. And the second verse of that says, the cross before me, the world behind me. And then the end of the song is, no turning back, no turning back. May it be so in our lives, in the name of Christ. Amen.